and You Save Me one more time. Just hit that chorus. Yeah. And let's stand and just sing it one more time. You in. Have your way in us. Lord, walk among us. Talk to us. Speak to us. Speak to hearts today. Lord, lead us and guide us. Let us listen to your whisper today. Let us be more sensitive and in tune to your whisper than anything in the world. Give us spiritual ears to hear, spiritual eyes to see, a heart to discern what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're speaking in this hour. Jesus, thank you for saving us. In your name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. 1 Timothy 1, 18. It's our passage for the month. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. How do we wage good warfare? We need wise counsel in our lives. Proverbs 20, verse 18 said that plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. He reminds him, there's an apostle, there's a spiritual father, and there's a son. What's your identity? Are you in a place that you can receive? You cannot walk in authority unless you are under authority. Some of you want authority, but you're not a man or a woman under authority. Some of you want authority. You're like, I can lead. I'd be a better boss. I'd be a better owner. I'd be a better manager. I'd be better than all these people. I'm way more qualified. I got this degree and I got this experience. I've done it all. You're not a man or a woman under authority. So why would you be entrusted to walk in authority? Because you don't understand authority. If you want to walk in authority, you better become a man or a woman that knows how to walk under authority. Go back to the Roman centurion that came to Jesus. What did he say? He said, no. I know. All you have to do is say it. And Jesus said, you understand authority because you're a man who is under authority. He wasn't the Roman emperor. He was a man who took commands. Like, did he walk in authority, though? Did he have people under him? Yes, he did. He was very important. He was a leader, but leaders must acknowledge the established leadership structure that God has ordained. You cannot, that Roman centurion, he could not walk in authority over those he led unless he was a man who could be trusted. He must have been a man that knew how to walk under the authority from the commands that came down to him. Can you be a man or a woman that can walk under authority? Then you can be trusted to walk in authority. Some of you are like, why don't my kids listen to me? Some of you moms in here, some of you wives in here, my kids don't listen to me. They're rebellious. I just got a bunch of rebels. You're a rebel. Yeah. Are you under the authority that God has established in your home? Oof, that's some fire. Deal with that. Go to Ephesians 5. Let's look at the authority. Some of you didn't like that. That's all right. The Lord wrote it. You can be mad at me. I'm just the messenger. Some people shoot the messenger. I say don't, but whatever. Ephesians 5. You want to watch? You want your kids to listen to you? Read Ephesians 5. Live it. Live it. You know, this is one of the best lessons the Lord taught me and my wife in this season. And can I tell you, she did not like learning it. Pastor Steph's not here today. Oh, you're all bold. She ain't here. She'll watch it on YouTube. Don't worry. We'll talk about it later. We'll do a Bible study. No, we've been through it. We've been walking it out. I was a passive man most of our marriage. I was like, yeah, whatever. Whatever you want. Whatever you say. Whatever you want. I was an Ahab. You know the story of Ahab and Jezebel? I was an Ahab. She was a Jezebel. She'd be like, you didn't have to tell everyone. That's what she'll say later. Be like, we're vulnerable here. We're open here. Because we want you to know we've walked through it. We've walked through the fire. We've been through some of these battles that you're in right now. And let me tell you something. It gets better on the other side. She's Pastor Steph now. She couldn't be Pastor Steph year one, year two, year three. Why? Because she didn't understand authority. But when she stepped under authority, the Lord raised her up in her spiritual authority. Woo! Man, he wants to do that. There's some men and women in here today. He wants to raise you up. He's waiting to raise you up. But will you be a man or woman that walks under authority that he's established? You're like, well, you don't know my husband. You don't know my boss. You don't know this person. Trust the Lord because he establishes all authority. And there's something he wants to teach you in this season. There's something he wants to teach you in this season. And husbands, you better learn to love your wives as Christ loves the church sacrificially. Lay down your life. Husbands, this doesn't mean you come in and you're like, you get in the car after church and you're like, you hear that preacher? You better start listening. Shut up. Shut up. You think that's how Jesus talks? Like, you better start. Well, I mean, sometimes he's like, you should just. Really, Jesus is gentle, right? He's kind. Like, and he's just saying. Think about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is all those things. He is. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Condescending, was that on there? Sarcastic, was that? Now, Jesus could be a little sarcastic at times. But that's not listed under the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't get in the car with you today after church and be like, see, I told you. But when you step into obedience, he's like, yes, yes. Because it's not in the physical that you're taking a step forward in faith. It's in the spiritual. The spiritual realm is changing and shifting. And so in the physical today, you might make a step or a change, and it might seem like kind of a small deal in the physical, but in the spiritual, you are breaking something off of your life. You're breaking off patterns that you saw in your family. I saw my parents exhibit an Ahab and a Jezebel marriage. I saw my dad be passive, 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 just whatever, whatever, whatever. And I saw my mom controlling and dominant and just, she ran the family. And so when I stepped into marriage 15 years ago, praise the Lord, coming up, New Year's Eve, that was a party. It was fun. I was younger back then. I could stay up to midnight. Can't do that anymore. When I stepped into it, I just knew what I had seen. Some of you, you've stepped into stuff, and this is just all you've ever seen. Let me tell you something. The Word will wash you and cleanse you and set you into some new patterns and some new habits and some things that He designed and not the world designed. So He wants to break off from you everything you saw, everything you've experienced, and He's saying, listen, listen, your parents, your grandparents, whoever it was, they did the best they could in that season with what they knew, but I want to show you what I know, and I know it all because I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. He wants to teach you His ways. His ways are better. And so when you get in the car after church today, don't just be like, oh, you hear that? No, get in the car and be like, what do you think the Lord is saying in this season? How does this apply to us right now? How do we start to walk this out? Let's look at it. Let's look at Ephesians 5 here. Go to Ephesians 5, verse 22. My goodness, I had so many other plans of what to preach today, but this is good. Wives, you know, sometimes I preach this when I do weddings. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And some girls will look at me like, I knew I should have asked that other preacher. too bad, you got me. And I'm the Lord's, so I don't care what you say. He's got me. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The husband is head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, not as the CEO is the head of the company. Not as your boss or your manager is the head of where you work. No, no, no. Your husband is head of the wife as also Christ is head of the church. So husbands, you got a challenge today. You better start to learn to lead like Jesus. You're like, oh, I wish she followed me. I wish she'd listen to me. Husbands, are you a man under authority? You cannot walk in the authority that Christ has called you to unless you get under authority. Are you submitted to the Lord? Are you submitted to your church? To spiritual leaders? Do you have people that you are seeking wise counsel from? Or are you just kind of shooting from the hip and saying, whatever I feel like, whatever I want, whatever, this is what I say, so this is how it goes. Are you seeking counsel from the Lord? Are you in the Word? Husbands, there's a high calling on you. I hope you understand there's a weight to this. We kind of came in, we're kind of laughing, it's all fun. It's fun, but it's also serious. There's a heavy weight to leading your family the way Jesus leads the church. Understand that today. There's some of you, you're like, well, I'm not married. You might be someday. I believe that. You're like, well, it seems like it's a far way off. Learn to steward what he's given you in this season. Whatever he's given you, steward your season. If you're taking notes today, write that down. You don't like your season. You better learn to steward this season if you want to graduate and move into the next season. What has he given you? What has he entrusted you with? If you can't steward this season, why would he give you more? My goodness, I drove away from that. It's a finance meeting, but really we call it the Kingdom Builder meeting. Because we just want to build his kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we just want to build his kingdom. We want to use whatever God gives us. We want to steward it well. And I drove away from that meeting, and I was just kind of shook with the heaviness and the weight of this new season that we're stepping into. It's a higher calling. When he gives you more, I hope you understand, it's a higher calling. Don't take it lightly. Every year, there's been increase in this house. This year, it hit me heavier than in past years. It's hit me before, the weight of what we steward for the kingdom of God, what he's entrusted us with. But it hit me really heavy driving away yesterday. I'm in awe. And part of me, there's a little bit, the devil's trying to whisper fear. You can't handle this. You're not ready for this. You don't want this. Just stay the same. Just bury it. What'd the bad steward do? He buried it out of fear. Don't bury it. Don't bury what he's given you. Don't be like, well, I don't want to lose it. Step out in faith today. Invest it. Steward it. Use what he's given you for the kingdom of God. Steward your family. Steward your marriage. Steward your kids. Steward whatever area it is you serve in. There's a man who's been coming to our church just recently. I can just tell he's a good steward. He was walking around just praying. He came up to me and asked, I think it was just last week. He's like, you know, he's kind of new to the church, so he's a man of honor. And he just came up and he just asked me, is it all right if I just walk around the room and just pray? I was like, praise God. Yeah. You want to come early to church and you want to walk around this room and pray? Yeah. Let's go. Get in here. Some of you, you're showing up at 10:15. That's all right. Learn to steward your time, though, in this next season. He wants to teach you to steward time. Be a man or woman of God that you show up here at 9 a.m. Guess what? The coffee's on. The coffee's good. You can get some coffee, and you can just start walking this room and circling and praying. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in understanding. Just begin to ask the Lord, Lord, have your way in your people today. You don't know what to pray? Pray in the Spirit. You don't know how to pray in the Spirit? You can get baptized in the Spirit today. You want that? He wants it for you. He's a God of gifts. He wants to give you gifts today. Don't miss it today. He's got gifts for you. It's Christmas season. You think God doesn't have gifts for his kids? He's got gifts for his kids. He loves you. Then you want to show up early? Show up early and pray. Some of you, you've been in this season where you're like, man, you're walking in and I see you, and that's all right. You're walking up here at the sidewalk at 10:15, and guess what? I'm happy you're here, but we're starting to run out of seats, so I need you to start showing up early and sitting up front so there's room for new people that are starting to come so they can sneak in the back. You ain't new anymore. You ain't new anymore. You're a son and daughter in this house. You're a part of revival. You're called to it. Get here early. Come hang out with your people. Come fight for it. Get into prayer. You can get in here early, and you can listen to our worship team warm up, and you can just start to worship the Lord. Come on. Let's just show up. Let's just do church all week. Because guess what? We're the church. It's not a building. It's not an hour. We're just the church. Where you show up, where two or more are gathered, you're the church. Start getting together. Start gathering. Get into the Word together. Get some wise counsel in your life. Find some spiritual fathers and mothers in this house. I know you're kind of looking around. You're like, everybody looks kind of young. There's some older people. You can find them. But guess what? It's not about age. It's not about age. My goodness. The Spirit will lift you up. The anointing will lift you up and raise you up. There's some young kids and some young ladies in here. Like, He is raising you up to be spiritual mothers and fathers. And you're like, I'm too young for that. If the Lord calls you to it, it's time to step into it. Steward this next season. You're like, but I'm just, I need to sleep in a little bit. I'm a college kid, or I'm 35. Well, you still sleeping in until 10? Come on, get up, 35-year-old. And you're like, you want the increase. You want the next season. You want the next step. Here's your next step. Learn to steward your time in this season. And just say yes to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to wake up 30 minutes earlier so I can spend that time with you. I'm not just talking on Sundays, like waking up and getting here. I'm talking like every day. Just learn to steward your time and say, in this season, I'm going to wake up 30 minutes early and I'm going to soap before my kids wake up. And some of you are like, I've never heard of soap before. We got soap, these little books, they're called soap out there. And it's just S-O-A-P, scripture, right? This is how you journal. You read scripture, you write it down, write down your observations. That's the O. Application is the A. Write down, how do I apply it? Ask the Lord, how do I apply this to my life? And then P, prayer. Just begin to pray. And then sometimes we add a D at the end, declare it. Start to declare God's word over your life. Let me know if I need a new microphone, all right? I don't know what's going on. Let's get back to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Steward. That might be our word for 2026. Because there's an increase, and when there's an increase, you better learn how to handle it. There's an increase coming into this house. Spiritual authority is rising. Some of you, it's time for you to step into that new season. He's preparing you. He's teaching you. Trust Him. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's tough. Here's what I tell people. If your husband's a believer and he's following the Lord and he's seeking Him, it's a little bit easier. Okay? You can trust. When he feels like, man, like the Lord is saying this, the Lord is telling me, like we got to do this, we got to take this step of faith. Okay, that's great. Like wives, learn to trust. Like you can still have a voice, you can still speak into it. In fact, husbands, guess what? What does Jesus do? Jesus invites the church to be active in this world. Husbands, don't just beat your wife over the head with the Bible and say, do whatever I say because I'm holding this. Don't do that. That's stupid. Don't be like, well, the Lord told me, so this is what we're going to do. You're partners. You're one. She doesn't have the junior Holy Spirit, and you got senior Holy Spirit. You both got the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're both filled with His Holy Spirit. Learn to listen and partner in this season. Husbands, He wants to teach you in this season to be gentle and invite your wife along in it and not just kind of be dragged along and guilted into, well, if I don't listen, I'm a bad Christian, I'm a bad wife. No. Husbands, be a leader like Jesus and invite your disciples into it, right? What did Jesus do? He invited the disciples into ministry with Him. Did they make mistakes? Did they get off sometimes? Yeah, that's okay. Guess what, husbands? You're not Jesus. You're going to make mistakes too. You have grace, and you walk that out in grace and mercy, and you walk it out together. Learn to walk that out in this season. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I felt the fire. Like I got on fire, and I was getting dreams and visions, and I was getting revelation. It was about 4 years ago. It was when this church first started, and the Lord just started taking me just new levels. And so sometimes we get excited, and we start running, we start sprinting, and not everybody around you understands what is going on. Husbands or wives, it might be reversed for some of you in here. There might be one of you or both of you in here, and you're kind of struggling because maybe your spouse, she is on fire or he is on fire, and they're getting revelation from the Lord, and they're praying in the Spirit, and you're still like, what is praying in the Spirit? What is tongues? You sound a little crazy. Like, it's in God's Word, all right? I'll break it down for you after church if you want to break it down. We'll break it down together. But let me tell you something. You have to learn in this season your zeal, your fire. It's good, but make sure it's pointed in the right direction, and make sure you don't leave people in the dust. I've used this illustration before. When I would take my little son, my little five-year-old, to his flag football games, we would have to cross this busy road, and I can cross it. I can run across. I'm fine. I'm so excited. I'm like, I'm coaching football today. I'm going to go coach these little 5-6-year-olds, and we're going to win some flag football games. I got to get there. We're late. And I could sprint on ahead of him and just leave him in the dust and be like, hey, just keep up. That's really stupid, right? Like, there's cars zipping 40, 45 miles an hour, and I'm just like, I can see the gap. I'm going to shoot this gap. Hope you make it. That's what some of you are doing spiritually with your husband or your wife or your kids. You're sprinting on ahead, and you're leaving them in the dust, and you're like, hey, hope you figure it out. No. You can still be on fire. You can have zeal, but you can hold their hand, and you can walk with them, and you can talk with them, and you can build relationship and trust in this season. I'm glad you got fire and you got zeal. But what's the fruit of the Spirit? You have to learn in this season to discern the fruit of the Spirit. Fire and zeal are not listed in the fruit of the Spirit. Fire and zeal are great when they are directed by the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts 22. My goodness, I'm going to come back to Ephesians. I promise you this. The Lord is just dropping stuff. It's just stuff that's been sitting in me all week, and I'm like, Lord, how do I get all this out? Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to get there. Acts 22. Let's go. Just flip back a little bit there. Look at this man, Paul, the Apostle Paul. Look what he says. Acts 22, verse 3. I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a big deal. Paul was educated at the feet of somebody. Paul, he had every PhD and all the MDivs or whatever, you know, all the little letters behind the name when people send you those emails and you're like, all right, I get it. You're smart or whatever. He had it all. I was brought up by Gamaliel. Some of you are like, that sounds like a Star Wars character. Maybe that's just me. Taught according to the strictness of our father's law and was zealous toward God as you all are today. He was zealous. He was on fire toward God, or so he believed. Toward God as you all are today, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there, to Jerusalem to be punished. Sometimes we judge the Holy Spirit in somebody by their zeal and fire, but you can have zeal and fire, and you can be killing the church. You can be killing the church. Not in this house. I'm sorry. That's a few months that needed to get out right there. I've been working through some stuff with the Lord. I love zeal and I love fire. But if it's pointed the wrong direction and it's not guided by the Holy Spirit, you're a danger to the church. You're a wolf. Don't judge the Holy Spirit in somebody by zeal and fire. Test the fruit. How do we test the fruit? Go to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5. You got to get this deep in you. You got to be wise and discerning. This church will not be deceived by false teachers or wolves in sheep's clothing. This church, you are anointed. You are. You're a son and daughter. You're not going to be deceived, church. I believe that. My goodness. This is not directed at you right now, church. I just want you to know, I'm a little angry at what the devil's trying to do to stir people up and pull people away and divide the Lord's church. This isn't you, because I know you are anointed. You're filled with His Holy Spirit. You're walking with Him. You're talking with Him. You're learning, more importantly, to listen to Him in this season and to do what? To wage good warfare. That means if you can wage good warfare, then that must mean there is also bad warfare that can be waged. Some in the house of God are waging bad warfare, and they're testing the spirits by the wrong things. They're testing it by zeal and fire. I'm gonna say it again. I love zeal and fire. Like, I love when you come into a moment in worship and you just know, man, there's zeal, there's fire, there's, like, we're praising the Lord, we're going after it, and there's excitement in the house of God. But don't misjudge and believe that is the test. That is the test for the Holy Spirit in someone. When you are testing the spirits, go to Galatians 5. Oh, man. I love you, church. I love you. You're the saints. You're the saints. Don't forget. This is important today. We're doing heart work today. We're testing our hearts. We're getting stronger. We're becoming more wise and more discerning. Be a note-taking church. Get into it. Take notes. Be interactive. Get engaged. Say, yes, Lord, what are you teaching me today? Ask Him. He wants to teach you. Galatians 5. Let's go to verse 19. I think I might actually have this one in there. I've been really off script today. If you want my script that I'm not using, text Rev Notes to the number 94,000. You can just read it on your own. Do the homework this week. The Lord just had me build you some homework this week. Soap it. Soap it all. You're like, I don't know where to start. There, I just gave you a bunch of scriptures. If you text Rev Notes, all one word, to 94,000, you can soap those scriptures every day this week, and you'll get the sermon I thought I was going to preach. Praise the Lord. What's he say here? I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit to the church in Galatia. Verse 19. Now the works of the... You're learning to discern the Spirit from flesh. We're learning to discern the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, from flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Look out. Some of these are really obvious, right? Like some of these you can spot. You just know it. Or people are talking about it, and they're talking about how much hate and anger they feel towards this person or this person, and you're just kind of like, whoa. And that, you know what? Correct gently like Jesus. Maybe just kind of redirect. Sometimes you just follow the Holy Spirit. Follow His wisdom. If it's another brother or sister in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you probably need to help them work out some of this anger. Remind them, don't let the devil get a foothold in this season through that hatred, right? Like hatred, we can spot that. Now, sometimes selfish ambition is a little harder to spot. Sometimes selfish ambition is just growing under the surface until all of a sudden it just comes out one day. But it was there the whole time. Selfish ambition and sorcery go hand in hand. And some of you are like, sorcery? Harry Potter, that's not real. Yeah, yeah. Witchcraft, sorcery. What is witchcraft? What is sorcery? It's manipulation. It's control. Okay? There are people that are using witchcraft and sorcery. They're in your life right now. You didn't even know it. And you're like, they don't wear a black pointy hat. What's the devil done really good at in this season? He's made people believe he doesn't even exist. There is no enemy. There is no devil. There is no sorcery. There is no witchcraft. And he's kind of put everything just kind of in hiding, and it's just happening, and we don't even realize it's happening. I grew up in a family of witches. Some of these aunts, they might watch this video and be like, how dare he? We didn't wear black pointy hats. No, but you learned something that you saw in your grandma, and she learned it from her mom, and it was passed down, and you didn't even know it. You didn't know it, but it was witchcraft because it was manipulation and control. One of the signs is guilt. Somebody, they might be using guilt over your life. Oh, it'd be really nice if you could show up for family dinner at Christmas. Witchcraft. And some of you are like, I can't call that out in my mom. Sorry. But guess what? She needs to get free from it because she doesn't even know she's doing it. And so you better learn in the name of Jesus and gentleness and kindness to call out sin when you see it. Here's what I do. Here's what I started doing. When I see something and I just know, hey, this is wrong, and I have a relationship with them, they're in the church, I sit down with them and I say, hey, I'm your pastor. First of all, you have to establish that. Do you want a pastor or do you want a friend? Like some of you, you're like, hey, Al, hey, Alex, whatever. And it's like, and some of you are like, hey, pastor. And some people come in here and you're brand new and you're like, well, why do people call him pastor? I was always like that. I was like, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. You know, I've been in church my whole life. And we just call each other, you know, we call it the pastor Bill. Hey, Bill. We treated him just kind of casually and just not like a man who was appointed by the Lord to lead his house. I'm telling you this. This is my confession. I treated pastors like that my whole life. And all of a sudden, my brother starts going to this crazy, charismatic, spirit-filled church about, I don't know, 8 years ago. And he starts talking to me about, oh yeah, Pastor Matt said this. And Pastor Matt told me this. And I'm just like, you know, you don't have to call him pastor, right? You don't have to do that. Like I just was like, you're so stupid calling him that. And then I started to see the fruit of my brother's life. And I started to realize something's going on here. It's supernatural because I started to see from a man who was a drunk, who was an adulterer, who was, I mean, just all these terrible things, all these sins, all these terrible things who I always hated my whole life. I started to see fruit of the Holy Spirit coming out of his life. And I was like, what is going on? This guy, my brother is different. I think I actually like him now. I hated him. I started to ask more about this church that he went to. And then I remember I was like, I got to meet this pastor because I was in a season where we were getting ready to start revival. And I was like, I got to know what's going on there because there's something different there. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And I believe what I've been in has been dry of the Holy Spirit for too long. And I need to learn what it means to build a church God's way by the voice of his Holy Spirit. And so I met with this man, Pastor Matt, and I sat down with him. And one of the very first things I asked him, I was like, why do people call you pastor? Like, why does that matter? He's like, he looked at me and he said, if you just want a friendship, like we were kind of talking about what this looks like going forward, do you just want a friend or do you want a pastor? Because when you have a pastor, when you come under the cover of a pastor, you now have spiritual protection provided by the Lord because that is who the Lord has chosen as the leader of that house. And he said, you don't have to call me pastor, but if you want a pastor in your life, I will be that for you. And he gave me this book, Undercover. If you don't have that, if you've never read it, you need to read it. It'll change your life. Because right now, there's a spirit of rebellion that's still living inside of you and whispering right now, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need that. The devil doesn't want you to live inside of the leadership structures that God has designed, because the devil knows it's easier to get you outside of God's house than inside the house. It is. But when you come undercover, you got the protection of God's house and the leadership he's established. That Roman centurion, because he was a man undercover, he knew when he was going up into battle, it wasn't just him on his own. It was all of Rome going together. How much more powerful is God's army than Rome's army? Don't you want God's army behind you? Then step into the leadership structure he's designed. Step into the family structure he's designed. Husbands, I told you earlier, you're like, well, my wife, it's just, she doesn't listen to me. She doesn't care what I say. Are you a man under authority? Are you under authority in this house? If you say you're planted in this house, is this your church? Are you a man under authority? Because if not, if you're still living in rebellion and you're still like, casual, it's just kind of casual. Well, no wonder there's rebellion in your house. You're living in rebellion. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Pastor Matt was gentle and kind that day. He said, if you want that, if you want a pastor in your life, I'd never had a pastor in my life. I worked for a guy, and I liked him. He was great, but I didn't consider him my pastor. He was just a friend. That was how I treated him. But if you want the blessing of coming undercover and having a pastor over your life, you can have that. Pastor Matt told me, he's like, if you want it, we can have that kind of relationship. But that means I'm going to speak into your life. I might challenge you at times, because if we have relationship and I'm your pastor and you're seeking wise counsel because you want to wage good warfare, so you better have somebody that you're seeking wise counsel from. You better have some kind of spiritually minded people in your life that you're going to and seeking this wise counsel from so you can wage good warfare, then you can have that. But if you just want to be friends, we can just be friends. I've never called him Matt since that day. And I will tell you what, my life, my marriage, my kids, my family, this church that God called us to has never been the same since that moment. Why? Why are we so blessed? Why? Because we're a church undercover and there's protection and provision in God's house. There is. Justin got up here and he shared the numbers. The very first year, guess what? You know what we started with? When we started Revival, we started with what I had in my savings account, $20,000. And we got to June, and we were about down to zero. And then all of a sudden, all the paperwork came in that we needed to be able to actually have a church bank account. We were just using my Venmo. That's how people were tithing in the first couple of months. They're like, can I just Venmo you? I was like, I guess. I promise I'll use it for the church. You know, that was how we were doing it, because we didn't have any of the paperwork. We didn't have a bank account. We didn't have any of that. We started with $20,000 in my savings account. And you know, during that time, I was kind of like, shoot, Lord, I wish I had all that money I tithed to that old church that fired me. If we had all that, my goodness, we'd be doing all these things, and like we could be so much further and farther along. And the Lord told me, he said, I don't say this lightly, he told me, shut up. Sometimes the Lord will tell you to shut up because you're talking too much. And he said, watch me what I'm going to do. And so we took that $20,000 seed and we sowed it into this church. And I had counted all the money that I thought, like, I was pretty sure, I was like, all the money my wife and I had given to that previous church that had fired us and had just kind of left us off on our own, we felt like. And I counted it up, and it was about, over all the years I worked there, it was about $100,000, $110,000. In 6 months, from June to January, when we first got that church bank account and people started giving to the church, we went from zero to $140,000. He gave it. What's he do? He gives it all back in more. He gives it all back in more. Everything I wanted, everything I was kind of like, he's like, don't grow bitter. Don't grow bitter, son. In fact, you need to bless them. And so what did we do that next year? We sent them a gift and we blessed them because we'd been so blessed, not by man, but by the Lord. When you step into the Lord's system of provision and protection, it is supernatural. You're like, it doesn't make sense to give money away. We're struggling. We're scraping by. The widow that had nothing when the prophet Elijah came to her and she was like, this is all I got. And he was like, give it to me. Trust the Lord. And the Lord gave back to her abundantly. When you give it to the Lord, he gives back abundantly. But we don't give to get. We just give because he's worthy. If he never gave anything back, does that mean he's less worthy? No. But he's a good father. And if he provides for the birds, if he provides for the birds and the lilies, don't you think he wants to provide for his sons and his daughters? He does. He loves you. My goodness, it's 11:30. I could preach all day. Do it? Okay, one person said it. I'll do it. I'll go all day. So you're like, is he serious? I want to read a little bit more. Oh yeah, I was talking about witchcraft. I could preach all day on witchcraft. Let me tell you one more thing about witchcraft. Flattery. Watch out for flattery. There's people in your life, and they're telling you all these great things, and they're just, I mean, and they're like your hype man or your hype woman, and they're just like, oh, you're so great, you're so awesome, you never do anything wrong, you're perfect. And you're just like, yeah, I am, thank you. Yes, you see it, you get it. My wife does it. Oh, watch out for that. Some of you, it's somebody at work. There's somebody at work, and you're kind of feeling right now like, oh, yeah, they see it in me, but my wife doesn't see it. That's the devil. That's the spirit of harlotry. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is a demonic spirit. And she or he is trying to tempt you into harlotry, into prostitution, into infidelity, into idolatry. Don't fall for it. Spot flattery and let it drop dead at the door. Don't give it a foothold in your life. Start to discern. That is witchcraft, because what are they trying to do? They're trying to gain manipulation and control over you. And you're like, no, it just feels good when they say those things. It just feels good. Don't trust feelings. Trust the Word of God. Don't trust flattery and feelings. Trust the Word of God. What does His Word say? I've seen men and women of God deceived into believing, well, the Lord is telling me to leave my wife for this youth leader because we're in love. Because that the feelings have faded. We're not, you know, we don't really love each other anymore. That's a lie from the devil, you idiot. In the name of Jesus, I kindly called him that, gently. No, it probably wasn't very gentle at that time. I was like, that's stupid. That is stupid. Don't fall for the lies of the devil, because what does God's word say? Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's a covenant. Marriage and love, real love, is not a feeling. Some of you, you've been coming to this church for a while, and in the beginning, you were like on fire, and you were loving it, and you're like, you got all these good feelings, right? Like the Holy Spirit is moving and speaking, and then you just have one Sunday where you're like, ooh, I didn't feel it today. I don't think the Holy Spirit's there anymore. Don't fall for it. That's a lie of the devil. Be more discerning than that. Test the fruit of the Spirit. Test the fruit. Test the fruit of God's people. Get to know some people. Get in relationship with some people, and you'll start to see, oh my goodness, there's some supernatural fruit in this house. There's people walking in supernatural things. It is supernatural in this world to walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We live in the most angry, the most depressed, the most sad time in the history of the world, because people are constantly looking at their phones and they're either mad about something or they're sad about something, because they're comparing their life to this, or they're seeing this injustice over here, and they're just, oh, everything's awful, everything's terrible. And it's like, no, not God's people. For God's people, we know if He is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You feel that today? You feel that? Step into it. Don't fall for feelings. Don't fall for one Sunday being like, oh, that's not, oh, he's not there anymore. He doesn't, oh, the anointing's not there. The anointing's lifted. Shut up. Test the fruit. Oh, there's not enough zeal or fire. Paul had a lot of zeal when he was killing and persecuting Christians. Test the fruit, not the zeal, not the fire. Write that down today if you're taking notes. Test the fruit, not the zeal or the fire. I love zeal. I love fire. I love the fire of God. When he falls on you, I feel the fire falling on people's shoulders right now. I feel heat falling into this room. But there's strange fire also. You can read through the Old Testament. There's a great story about strange fire. And the priests, they made fire their own way and not the way God had prescribed. They did something their own way, the way they felt like doing it, instead of the way God had told them to. They were disobedient, they were dishonorable, and they were killed for it. There's a lot of strange fire in the church today. Don't fall for strange fire. You're too wise. You're too discerning. The Holy Spirit, he is the anointing in your life. You're anointed. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. The word abides in you. He will teach you, it says in 1 John. He's your teacher. Don't fall for strange fire. Don't fall for lies from the devil. Let him teach you. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to guide you into all truth. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you in this hour. Don't be led astray by the wolves. Don't be led astray by the wolves in sheep's clothing. Oh, they look good. They seem nice. They're great. They're awesome. They're on fire. Test the fruit. Test it. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Once again, some of this stuff, it's so easy. Oh, yeah, murder. Okay, yeah. There's an arrest warrant out for you. You murdered somebody. Yeah, that's easy to test, right? Envy, you see that? Test the fruit. Be more wise. Be more discerning. Look at the language people are using. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there something going on here? Is there something off? But once again, I take you back to the manipulation and the control, the flattery. Begin to ask the Lord, is there somebody in my life that's flattering me to get something from me? Is there somebody in my life that's just telling me what I want to hear and not telling me what I need to hear, not telling me the truth? Sometimes the truth hurts. There's a lot of pastors that will tell you nice things, and they'll tell you what your itching ears want to hear. If you want that, you can go find that. I ain't that pastor for you. I'm not. I won't be that for you. When I sit down with somebody, I tell them, if I'm your pastor, there, I'm getting back to that point I was making about 10, 15 minutes ago. Maybe some of you already forgot it. I'll tell somebody, listen, am I your pastor? Is that what you want from me? They're like, yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm seeking this counsel. Okay. Understand this, I love you. We have some kind of relationship. I know you to an extent. I may not know everything, but I know enough. Right now, I want to challenge you. Do you have somebody in your life that loves you, that knows you, and is willing to challenge you? What I do when I sit down, typically it's when there's young couples in the house, they want to get married. And so I'll sit down with them. And in this world, most couples follow the prescription of the world. Well, first you got to date, and then you got to live together, and you got to, like, you know, kind of see if it's going to work, and you got to sleep together, and then you get married. We follow the word of God here. Yeah, I see some people with me today. I don't know who you two are, but I like you. You're with me. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Yeah, I like you guys. I don't know. Sorry, I interact sometimes with the people. I like you because you're with me. I like this church. I know if you're here today, you're with us. So I sit down with them, and I just tell them, I'm like, hey, listen, I get where you're at right now. Like, I just want to know straight up. Like, I've heard, I found out, you know, so, people talk, whatever. And it's like, I just want you to know, I love you and I know you. I want your marriage to be blessed. I don't want to just do this and take this lightly and just be like, well, sure, whatever. You're just doing the vows now. No. I love you, I know you, I want to challenge you. I want you to stop sleeping together, repent, take that to the Lord, and say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for what we've done. We're sorry for putting it into our timing instead of your timing, our way instead of your way, and just make a commitment to say, we're going to do it your way the rest of the way. Until we get married, we're going to wait to be together, to be one. Guess what? The Lord honors that and blesses that. He does. I've seen it in marriages in this house. He is honoring and blessing those people that acknowledge their sin and they repent and say, Lord, we're sorry. We didn't know. We didn't understand. Now that we know, now that we're convicted of it, we want to do it your way. Most people don't even know because most churches don't even talk about it. Most churches are just like, sure, do whatever, it doesn't matter. Oh, you've been sleeping together for, you know, years, living together. Oh, great, we'll do your wedding. No, I want you to be blessed, not cursed. I want the kids that come into your home when he blesses your womb to be blessed and not cursed. So we're going to break it off right now in the name of Jesus. The devil's way? No, no, no. We renounce it and we say, no, devil. We're going to do it the Lord's way. Sex is a beautiful thing that the Lord created. And it's between one husband and one wife. If you're here today and you've been living outside of that covenant of marriage and experiencing sex, I'm telling you today, all you got to do is just leave it to the Lord. Repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for doing it my way, for following my feelings and my flesh and doing what I desired. Lord, I repent and I turn back. I want to do it your way. He's going to bless you today. Your relationships going forward are going to be blessed from this day on. I'm telling you. You're like, why am I not married yet? Why am I not married yet? Because you keep giving it away for free. Stop. He loves you. You're a daughter. You're a son. He's designed you for covenant, not to just jump around from this place to this place, this relationship to this relationship. No, he's designed you for covenant. So many people treat the church like sex, and they go from church to church looking for what feels good. They're looking for that next feeling. And when the feelings fade, ooh, when the feelings fade, that's a song. Ooh, no, no, it used to be when the music fades. All is stripped away. I told Pastor Andrew I want him to rewrite that song actually recently, when the feelings fade. We still follow the Lord. We still choose the Lord. Don't let feelings deceive you in this season. Don't let the devil deceive you based on a feeling. Too many people jump out of covenant relationship in the church, the house of God, and they go based on a feeling, feeling to feeling. Oh, this place, this is the next best thing. This is the next big thing. And they're just like, oh, this place, they got better worship, or they got a better preacher. Pfft, whatever, doubt it. I know who I am. I'm the Lord's anointed. I'm his son. I know what he's gifted me with. I know what I walk in. Let me tell you something. Learn that. You're the Lord's anointed. Understand what you walk in. Understand what he's called you to. Understand your gifts. He created you for such a time as this. You're in Esther. You're in Nehemiah. Build. Fight for the kingdom. Walk in truth. Walk in justice. So when you're having those days and you're kind of feeling like, maybe this isn't the church for me. Oh, I saw this video over here. The anointing's over here now. That pastor, this church, whatever. Don't get caught up. Everybody knows, like, okay, yeah, pornography's bad. Don't get caught up in pastor pornography. There's too many members of churches that are in covenant. They're planted in a church, and all of a sudden they see a YouTube clip of, I don't know, some great preacher from wherever, Washington or Dallas or California, and they're like, that's where the anointing is. That's it. I need that. And what are you doing? I love it. I love other preaching. I love other teaching. That's great. Get the word of God in you. But if it's causing you to start to become dissatisfied where you know God has called you to be planted in a house and be established in that house, well, guess what? It's become pastor pornography. And all of a sudden, it's causing you to get out of the place that God actually called you to and created you for. Now, there's going to be times where he calls you and he says, hey, it's time to go. I got a new place for you to go. I got new territory for you to take. And we want to bless you on your way out. But if you're watching pastor pornography and you're just like, some of you are like, that sounds really weird. It is weird. Because what you're doing, you're lusting after all these other places and you're like, oh, that's where the Holy Spirit is. No, the Holy Spirit is right here. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's upon you if you'll invite him in. If you haven't invited him in, today's the day. Today's the day. Don't miss this moment. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? Some of you are like, oh, praise God, he's closing. Some of you are like, I wish he'd go all day. Nobody? What? I didn't hear anybody clap for that. Well, 1 John. We're going to close on 1 John. First John 2. verse 20. And if you don't have a Bible, we want to get you one today. We got some NLT Bibles out there. We'll get you one of those when you leave. They're free. Just go out and grab one. If you've been baptized here recently, we got these awesome soap journals. We give those to people who've been baptized. Make sure you grab one of those today too. They help walk you through soap. If you've never soaped before, I don't care. Those are free today. Those are on the house. Right? Kingdom Builder team. They're on the house today. If you want a soap journal, grab one of those. We want people in the Word. All right. Verse 20. But you have an anointing. This is John, the Apostle John. He's saying this to the church. Who are you? You're the church. Who's this for? This is for you. This is for you. Don't read this. Don't just go over this casually and be like, oh, that's good for somebody else. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's for them or that's for them. This is for you today. This is for you. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. The Holy Spirit convicts you of the truth. When you hear the truth, you know it's true. When you hear a lie, you know it's a lie. In your spirit, you know. Why? How do you know? The Holy Spirit. He's revealing things to you today in this hour. He's showing you things. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. The Word, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. What? This is so confusing. Yeah, he abides in you. The same Holy Spirit that abided in Jesus, the living Word of God, the Word become flesh, abides in you. You know the Word. You know the truth. The truth has set you free. Abide in it. Abide in Him. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. If you get into the Word, you abide in the Son and the Father. Get into the Word today. Open it up. Ask Him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And just begin to read. And this is the promise that He has promised us. Is God a promise breaker? No. He's a promise keeper. This is a promise. He won't break it. These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. Guess what? There are those who are trying to deceive you. It will happen to all of us. There are those who will betray you. And some of you are like, don't speak that over me. If it happened to God, if it happened to Jesus, don't think it won't happen to you. Lucifer was a part of God's kingdom. He was the lead worship pastor. And he betrayed the Lord. Judas was one of the disciples. He was there. He was with them. He walked with them. He heard every sermon. He saw it all. And he betrayed the living King. Don't think there won't be deceivers and those who will try to betray you. Don't think that it won't happen. But guess what? He who abides in you is greater than he who abides in the world. He who lives in you is greater than he who is in the world. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him, it does not come from man, from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. Abide in Him today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to you right now. Church, let's stand up. Let's stand up to receive this today. Ministry team, would you come forward? Lord, we just come to you right now. And Lord, we just want to abide in you. If you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I just challenge you. I challenge you today, come forward and pray that prayer with somebody. Just, it's a simple prayer. They'll lead you through it. Just say it. Lord, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I believe you rose from the dead and you came to save me. You saved me. You saved me. You saved me. We sang those words. He saved you. And invite him in. Invite the Holy Spirit in today to abide in you. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, show me your ways. It's a simple prayer. You can just pray that. Just repeat it today. Just say, Holy Spirit, please come and teach me your ways. Abide in me. Just say that. If you want that today, just invite him in. He is gentle. He is kind. He will not force his way into your life. He will not break down the door. But if you open the door and say, Jesus, if you say, Holy Spirit, come today. I need you. I want you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to abide in me. I want to be a temple of your presence today. He's good. Father, we just praise you. Lord, I praise you right now for people's hearts being open to you. Lord, I pray that your word, we know it was sown today, and we know it never returns void. And I pray that there is a great harvest that is coming from this word that was sown today, 20, 30, 60, 100 fold. There are going to be people's lives and eternities and marriages change. There's going to be a restructuring in families as we fall into leadership alignment that you have designed. It comes from your word, and there's a washing and cleansing that comes from your word. And so I just thank you for that today, that we've been washed and cleansed by your word, by the blood of the Lamb. And so now we come and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.